Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow, talking at you with my good friends Sue and Jonra.
Hey there, they gave me the good mic tonight.
Yes.
Age before beauty.
Quite, yes. Beauty is definitely what people say when they look at me. That's why I'm on radio.
You and genre.
What do you mean age before? Like
that's why I got the good mic.
No, age and beauty before.
Oh.
So.
Oh, get. I've got some stuff in the car for you. Some candy or
something.
Yeah. Nice. Chocolate. Flattery will get you.
John was.
Anywhere you want to.
Genre's mother didn't raise no fool, yeah, as they say. So, yes, quite so, quite so. We also gave you the good mic because it was like, hey, you know, John was always having to turn me down and turn you way up, and it was difficult. And it's like, what if we swap mics? And, hey.
And you thought of that.
Mike. I know.
Your namesake.
It's lying. It's my fourth or fifth good idea I've had on the show in the 10 years we've been doing it. So I haven't been keeping track. I probably should have. Anyway, if you'd like to sound off on our sound quality or other of my many, many, many good ideas, or if you'd just like to commiserate with John and Sue for putting up with me, you can email us, contact@civilpoliticsradio.com. It's a great way to get in touch. Civilpoliticsradio.com, of course, also is our website, which has recordings of pretty much every previous episode of the show, some supplemental episodes we've done, other good stuff. It's where John puts show notes and links to things we talk about. And actually, we should probably think about maybe updating our trusted news sources because, you know, it's been years. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe the New York Times doesn't quite belong on there anymore.
We took off the New York Times.
Oh, we did?
We updated them.
Yeah, that was last year, I think.
Oh, did we? Oh,
yeah, we updated it like in the last year or two. But we should. I think
we updated it before COVID.
Yeah. I know took off the New York Times because they made me mad about something.
Well, that's on you, but like we didn't actually.
A couple of mistakes that were kind of.
Yeah, and Biden alluded to it at one point too. Is just in
I'm
going to
call you both out. I will send out the form that I sent out like years ago with all the stuff. And I would expect you both to fill it out.
Do it again? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In a timely manner.
And all the places I used to like, you know, went way right wing or went under.
Honestly, there are a couple that you asked me to take off recently. Not like relatively recently, because we've been doing this for a very
Well, it's
long
hard
time.
Because you don't want to just judge on like one or two things. But sometimes it's like, oh, my God, this is not.
Honestly, like you judge on a couple things because they're supposed to be accurate. Like as much as possible. Yeah. So if it's one or two things that are like egregious, then you know, like we're not going to listen to you anymore. Yeah.
And they do change editors, so you
they
know,
do.
That can really change.
Yeah,
the style.
Things definitely can change. yeah. Anyway, I know it's more work, but you know, like producers got to produce, man. So
just because we're all volunteers, no reason not to.
Crack the whip, right?
Beat the help, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man.
What? What?
I think she was expecting me to beat the help, not you. But
no,
you're the producer.
No,
so.
No, genre's going to give us the list, and we have to do the work.
So. I know.
Yeah, he's going to beat the help to get us to do it.
Okay, that's a little bit better. I was maybe we should think about the terminology that you're saying with the help, which is usually the producer. Oh. Beat the help.
I prefer to be called the talent, but sure, help is probably more accurate.
Yeah, we're okay. Now we're on the same page now because I thought it was the reverse going on. I was like, what?
No.
We need to talk about this.
though, to be fair, referring to me to the help is perhaps giving me too much credit.
Yeah, okay. He's officially the slacker now. The official slacker.
I just always
Gen X.
I am, and very much so. I've always just felt on some level like if you're the help, you should be helpful.
or hiding. Where are they? Where'd they go?
Yeah. Well,
didn't I ask somebody to do this? Where are they?
I don't know. As my psychiatrist tells me, I'm beyond the help. Wait, no. There was no the. Anyway, enough idle banter. So you are indeed actually listening to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio. And we're going to talk about some politics stuff. How about we start with this past Tuesday? I don't know about you, but it seemed like it's kind of a Midland Tuesday. Not so super, really. What'd you think?
I think it was low-ish turnout.
Yeah.
Low-ish. And Nikki Haley got a landslide in Northampton.
And she won the great state of Vermont.
And I heard an announcer on CNN say it was Utah because he couldn't read the teleprompter. And he saw the VT and thought it was UT. So he announced that she won Utah. I was like, you guys are not paying any attention. You don't have any right to be announcers. Because everybody, I mean, it was like the next day. Everybody knew the only state she won.
Yeah.
Well, she won D.C., District of Columbia.
Which isn't a state.
Yeah. They called it a city at one point. I'd never heard it called a city before.
Well, technically,
I think it's a district is what it is.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, they have a mayor. Yeah, whatever. It's a city and a district and whatever.
But anyway, Northampton,
What about Northampton?
Republican turnout almost doubled, even though it was low turnout.
Yeah.
The Republican turnout doubled because right now they're about 50% of the people in Northampton are unenrolled. So, and that's new. It hasn't ever been that high before. I was talking to Pam Powers, the city clerk today, and she said, look at this. I went, oh, my goodness. I said, statewide, it's 56%. So Northampton has been more Democratic and less unenrolled. Mm. And so a lot of people came out of the unenrolled category to vote for Nikki Haley, I guess. So that's interesting. But I don't know statewide. I think Trump took it.
So do you know what kind of numbers it was in Northampton? Like 200 people or 1,000 people? Or
it was 1,000 people, and it was 60-40.
Oh, okay. All right.
She got 60, he got 40. I'm rounding them both up because actually there were a lot of other miscellaneous votes. But
yeah, you were actually showing me a list of that?
Yeah, the parties. Oh, this is great.
I got to say, this is amusing local color. So yeah. Hit me, baby.
Yeah, John is going to steer us back into national politics in a second.
Oh, yeah, like he'll do that.
What?
He's ignoring us over here, chatterboxing away.
I'm prepping for the next segment.
Oh, there you go. Well, there's 30
red seven on the black eight, Jana.
There's 33 parties. This is from. We can see his screen. He's so busted.
I'm being unfair. He actually isn't playing solitaire right now. He's playing Galaga. We all thought he'd get away with it.
Yep.
You are not Tony Stark. Let Sue speak.
Fine.
Bleh.
So there we go. There we go. Oh, I'm paying attention. Well, there's 33 parties statewide.
Uh-huh.
Three are recognized parties, which you would recognize, Democrat, Republican, and Libertarian. The Green Party is no longer a recognized party in Mass. It's very, I was shocked. I was looking at it to try and see why. But some of the parties.
Crunchy lefties aren't good at organizing and staying committed to the movement.
I guess not. Well, these are, these 33 parties, they have to record because the person identifies themselves as a member of this party. So the code X in the system of the Secretary of State equals the Pirate Party. There's the pizza party. There's the prohibition party with a P. And all of these that I'm reading got votes in Northampton. 16 of the 33 got votes in Northampton. I couldn't believe it. And I don't know.
Who's the pirate party candidate for president?
Well, when somebody voted, they wrote in a person and then they put in a party. Yeah. So they were
Long John Silver, pirate party.
Okay. Pirate party. Yeah. Socialist People's Times. Unenrolled, everybody recognizes that. Veterans Party, We the People, Workers Party, Working Families, World Citizens. I mean, it's amazing. Green Party USA. And like I said, they're not recognized. It's not printed on the ballot. But these are parties that they had to count how many Mass Independent PT independent party. I think that used to be the old high tech party. Mm. There was an IT party here for a long time. So they count them. So they actually sum them all up. And so you can see that, you know, four of your neighbors voted in the pirate party and, you know, three people. There's like three or four conservative party things like America First or conservative. Yeah, it's very interesting. And not all states let you do that, but this state you can. And then you can petition and become a recognized party. It's not that hard, actually. So
don't they have like, you know, you have to have certain kinds of voter turnout requirements or something like that? Or is that just for state funding?
No, there's three ways you can get there. I looked this up. Do we really want to go there?
Yes.
Well, let me look at my notes.
Because if there's some way to create some kind of ludicrously dumb stunt political party that I can get officially recognized by the state, you know, I'm not the goofy screw up that I was as a teenager, but that guy's still inside me, and I absolutely would love to do something like
that. Well, here's the simplest way. It wouldn't be recognized, but it'd certainly get recorded, and then other people could
just go and write in Pirate Party or whatever.
Yeah, so somebody else in East Hampton would write you in, uh-huh. and then next to your name, they would put a party can't be more than three words.
Uh-huh.
So that's the easiest way to just even get it so that it's recorded. If
Idle Rich Parasite Party.
I'd like to be a member. I would, you know, I'd love to be a member of that party.
Great. Yeah.
too bad I'm not. 1% of registered voters are enrolled.
Uh-huh.
That'll do it, which isn't that many. About 50,000 voters. About
50,000. That still sounds like a lot of work.
Well, statewide, not too bad. Yeah. 3% of active vote for that particular office. So if one office got 3% people that said they were in that party, that would make it it'd be printed on the ballot, it would be a registered party. And you could petition by 50 registered voters to the Secretary of State by December 1st. And the Secretary of State would look at it, and you know who our Secretary of State is.
I believe you refer to them as the Prince of Darkness.
Yes. So I think it would probably disappear if it was like the Rhino Party. It would probably be, you know, swept under the rug, but you can petition to become a registered party. So not too hard. And all states are different, but I couldn't believe it because I just went in there to find out, you know, and they had this list. I go, what?
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of delightful. Yeah.
Yeah. So a few other things on the local race. Saturday, they had to be certified by tomorrow at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time ever that Northampton actually got it done today. Huh. And you know how hard those city clerks work.
It's
unbelievable. And I think it's a combination of low turnout and just, I guess, the office wasn't so busy that you could actually get it done today.
Well, pre-COVID, we had the city clerk on to talk about things, if I remember.
Yeah. So the Republican Party, I think I said this, in Northampton doubled.
Uh-huh.
In this election, you know, people took a ballot and probably then went back.
Same way I voted for Bob Dole in the primary in 96.
Yeah. There was
not Bob Dole, Pat Buchanan, because I was monkey wrenching. I was a little twerp.
Well, a lot of people do that. There was a protest vote.
Yeah.
About 15%, actually statewide, I think it was about 15%.
9%.
9%.
It was a little under 60,000 votes, about 9% of all the votes cast in the Democratic election. In Massachusetts were for uncommitted or no preference.
No preference.
Yeah.
Well,
I was one of them.
And City Clerk Powers was saying that they can't tell what it is. There just was that, you know, in that range.
Yeah.
But there were a few written in ceasefire, just a handful.
Yeah.
So hard to know. And while I was down at Town Hall, and I was leaving.
Uh-huh.
There's a big protest forming on the steps of Town Hall.
Sure.
City Hall, excuse me, in Northampton, for Free Palestine.
I mean, I don't know how much of a difference it'd make for people to be agitating in front of City Hall in Northampton, Massachusetts, but, you know, I certainly agree with the sentiment, you know. Well, and I got to say, so one of the things that really struck me, and we are going to be talking about the State of the Union in a bit. So, you know, this is, I guess, a bit of a preview, the president did not devote much time and energy in.
Wait, which president?
President Biden, the actual president. to talking about what's going on in Gaza. He only got to it 55 minutes into his speech. But I did a quick sort of look, and I might have missed a state or two, but on the Super Tuesday, Massachusetts, 60,000 people sort of made that kind of protest vote, the no preference. It's 9%. In Minnesota, 46,000 people did that. That's 19% of the people who voted in the Democratic primary. In North Carolina, 88,000 people voted for no preference or on a, you know, whatever the equivalent, which is 13% of the vote there. 51,000 people voted that way in Colorado, which is about 9% of the vote there. And in Tennessee, it was 10,000 people, but that was 8% of the voting of the votes in the Democratic primary. And of course, a week before that, Michigan had over 100,000 people turn out and vote for no preference, which was 13% of the Democratic turnout there. So back of the envelope, that's about 350,000 people have voted, have basically made protest votes to sort of signal to the president that, like, we are upset about this. And yeah, I don't know if it's registering.
I just want to say that for years I have been saying that you can't protest vote. Like, that's, you can't do it. Like, when you vote,
is that squandering your vote?
Well, when you vote or you don't vote, unless there is a concerted effort and a way for news stations or something to know that it's a protest vote, then you can, it's not a protest vote. It's right. Like if a bunch of people stop buying Kellogg's cereal, which honestly they should. The CEO has said some really bad things, but let's say a bunch of people don't do that. If nobody's saying that they're doing that because of, then they'll just see it as a drop in sales.
Yeah.
So this is a protest vote because everybody knows what's going on.
Yes.
Like there in Michigan, there was a concerted effort to say unconfirmed on the ballot. They wanted 10,000 votes and they were going to say, like, look, 10,000 people voted unconfirmed and this is why. They got 100,000.
Yeah.
I voted unconfirmed or none of the above or anything.
No preference.
No preference. Thank you. I voted no preference.
Really? In the presidential race?
Mm-hmm.
So you.
I took a Democratic ballot as well and I voted no preference. Yeah. You know, it's, I certainly, like, if circumstances were different, if there wasn't this, you know, this ongoing atrocity circus happening in Gaza right now and the president wasn't asleep at the switch about it, you know, I might have actually voted for him. You know, we certainly had worse presidents and State of the Union, he laid out some plans or whatever, and I was like, you know, I agree with a fair amount of that. You know, so it's not that Joe Biden is the devil. It's not that Joe Biden is incapable.
He's not Reagan.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, like Joe Biden, yeah, he's all right. He's a solid B-minus candidate in my view, whatever. And I mean, you know, certainly we've had a lot worse. And I, in a lot of ways, would feel comfortable voting for him if it weren't for that.
He's complicit in genocide.
Yeah. And it's just,
that is
a real deal breaker for me. And it may well be, like, here's the thing. This is a protest vote because people know what we're doing. And also, like, it's at a time where this is the primary. This is the stage.
That's the other thing I was going to say.
Where it works. Yeah. Well, it's not just safe. It's like, this is the appropriate time to sort of try and get the party to pay attention or whatever. I mean, you can certainly complain about electoral politics and say, what do you mean appropriate time? Totally valid. But as my friend Pete is fond of reminding me, you can't actually vote for revolutionary change. So the people who want revolutionary change, voting ain't going to do it. So
revolutionary change, it requires bullets, we're trying to avoid.
Well, it requires something anyways. Not, you know, maybe not bullets, but it does require people bucking the system.
Requires a coup.
Yeah.
I mean,
you revolutionary, can have bloodless coups.
Yeah.
The glorious revolution of 1688, for example, in the UK.
Yeah. But, you know, but yeah, this is a time when if you vote unconfirmed, there's only one person on the ballot, you know, and you can say just unconfirmed and they know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like like people are actually reporting on how many people, like, we're doing it. Like major news stations are doing it. They're talking about it. And that's good.
Yes.
And that's really good because it is a way to show that we are unhappy with the president right now. And we're thinking about not voting for him. And maybe he should do something different.
Yes.
You know? And that is how you do a protest vote. If you want to do a protest vote during the general, I can tell you exactly what you need to do. Everybody needs to write in the same name.
Yes.
Everybody needs to write in something the same. So when all the pollsters and everybody checks all the ballots, they say, who is this, like, Pedro guy?
Yeah.
Who's it? Like, we should actually vote for Pedro. Like, who's this Pedro guy? You know, like, who is it? Like, it makes no sense.
This guy on C-SPAN.
there was a meme, like, vote for Pedro. I forget where it's from.
Oh, it's Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. So that we movie. Should. Yeah. You can actually do that.
And then
all
write in the party, no genocide.
Yeah.
And then no genocide will be a party.
For, you know.
Nationwide.
So that is how you do. And if you can get like 10% of the vote. That would be insane.
It would be.
You know, like, at least like 2%, like, people would. But then we're worried about who's going to be president.
Right.
You know?
And so you have to be truly okay with, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And
that's the problem.
And the problem for me is, upset as I am, like, the 2025 plan, I don't know if you guys have seen that from sort of conservative think tanks saying, like, okay,
it's Trump wins. Project this is what we're going to do.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, wow. It really is just like, right. So we take over, we purge anybody who's not a party loyalist. And
it's the Fuhrer's handbook. Isn't
right.
It's
setting up a totalitarian police state. It's just, that's what it is.
Northampton had 835 no preference votes.
Nice.
And the Democratic side. Presidential race.
Yeah.
And the Republicans? Well, we had a race.
Yeah.
20 votes.
20 no preference?
Yeah.
And
unenrolled, I actually didn't look at them. I should look at them and see.
I'm just wondering how, well, nobody's unenrolled. If you want to take a ballot, you actually have to.
Yeah. So they sat on the sidelines. Right.
Right.
So if they didn't, and I think most of them went into the Republican Party.
Right. And it's possible if you're unenrolled to go in and take a ballot from either party and you become enrolled in that party. This is Massachusetts anyways. You become enrolled in that party and you can then on your way out of the voting area, you can just be like, and now I'd like to unenroll.
Yeah, they give you a little card.
Yeah. So.
But 835 people in Northampton thought that was worth doing. And safe. And good. Yeah. Like I said, I think probably that my party was, they had too many choices and they thought it might make a difference.
I mean, I certainly understand if people, you know, John Rice taking me to task for it, but back in 2000, I voted for Ralph Nader here in Massachusetts.
I did that too.
Yeah. And I mean, you know,
it didn't make a difference here because we're so dumb. It's such a
right. I knew state. That it wasn't going to, like, Al Gore was going to carry the state. But I wanted to, send a message, but also, like, to promote some of the, like, at the time, it looked like Mr. Nader was actually going to be helping to create sort of a viable left-wing Green Party or whatever. And I'd seen him speak at UMass earlier that year, and I'd actually been impressed because he'd been talking for an hour about, like, policy goals for the country, especially in foreign policy and, you know, environmental activism. And I was like, wow, I agree with all of those things. Those would be a really good idea to do.
He had some good ideas, but he ruined the Corvair for me. And, you know, that was our family car. So
by telling you it was unsafe, he really ruined our experience.
Well, you know, if you know cars, you know, I love cars.
I don't.
Well,
I've heard of the Corvair.
The Corvair had a Fisher body, which is the same body that, Porsche does, which is by the German guy, and the Volkswagen Beetle has, and they're like an eggshell. They're unibodies,
right.
And so he should have done it on the Porsche and also the Volkswagen. And instead, he just went after General Motors. I picked a low-hanging fruit, but because that's they would break apart. But so would any other unibody car. They're not, you know.
The idea that possibly Porsche made a better engineered car than General Motors affordable family car doesn't strike me as insane, but I have no idea.
Well, at least the VW, it's the same. It was the same design as unibody. Huh. Very revolutionary at the time, like an egg. You know, it's all the components keep it intact, but if you crack one, it. So.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, anyway.
That's why I'm a Republican.
Right. Because you want to crack.
Because Ralph Nader.
Because she wants to crack like an eggshell, right?
I want a car that handles like a glove.
So, yeah. Well, fair enough. So, anything else we want to say about Super Tuesday? You know, there's a lot of enthusiasm, I got to say, for President Biden, even
so. Katie Porter is out in California.
Okay. Yeah, that's I was trying to think of what I wanted to talk about in Super Tuesday. We have 2 minutes. I hate what he did.
Adam Schiff.
I hate what Adam Schiff did. It was disgusting. And we could have had a two Democrat race. But no, he dumped money into like basically introducing
Steve Garvey.
Yeah. It upset me when I heard what happened.
Do you think Californians will vote for him?
Of course.
Having done that?
Well, it's him or
right in Katie Porter.
No, that won't happen. No.
It's a machine politician versus
one of Nancy Pelosi's people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It versus a baseball guy. Like nobody cares. He's going to lose.
Well, and as John was pointing out, Mr. Garvey, you know, declared as a candidate, but wasn't actually running any ads of his own and wasn't really doing much of a campaign. He was entirely propped up.
What a lucky dog.
By Adam Schiff, because Adam Schiff was like, if I do this, I won't have to run against
Barbara Lee or
Katie Porter,
which would give him a race.
Yeah.
Like they would give him a race.
Right.
Because so he didn't want to spend like it would have been millions of dollars spent in California for ad buys and radio spots and all this stuff. It would be incredibly expensive. And now he can just coast. And that really upsets me.
So the runoff is actually worse than ranked choice because that wouldn't have happened with ranked choice.
Why not?
If you get rid of, it's not even an open primary, it's the jungle primary. Mm-hmm. If they had ranked choice instead with all those candidates in both, you know, whatever parties they were in who made it on the ballot, they would have gotten, you know.
Yeah, ranked choice voting is much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was running ads.
Second choice of a lot of people.
Yeah, was running ads saying that this guy is a bad candidate. And saying all the stuff that he didn't like about it, because he wasn't running ads for him, but he was
just elevating
running.
Him. Yeah, elevating the
and
name.
It's a terrible way to do politics. It's like
and
it's
it drove
dirty.
Republican turnout.
Yeah, and it drove for great. You know,
that's
good
what
job,
the
guy.
Media does with Trump. It's really bad what they say about him, but they say it all day long, every day, and it just drives up his numbers.
That is sure. the
or
that's
at least
the
that's
thing.
How
like,
he did in 16.
There, that's the thing with Trump. If you don't report on him. There is stuff that you need to know about him, but if you don't, and he says stuff all the time. So if you don't report on some of this stuff, like we had this discussion, like if you don't report on some of the stuff, then it flies by and we can talk about other stuff. But if you do report on it, it's important to do report on it so people know what he's saying. So it's
especially mattered when he was actually in the Oval Office.
Exactly. Yeah. And now that the general election has started. In earnest, especially like kicked off with the State of the Union, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But like that is
technically in 2 weeks when they get their delegates. But
you know,
but they're like starting to run ads about each other.
The election season.
Everybody's election dropped out except for Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden.
Exactly.
So.
Well, the guy from Minnesota
He dropped out.
He dropped out.
He did?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh. Nikki Haley did, and then he did.
I can't even remember his name.
Phillips.
Is Marion Phillips. Williamson still in the
yes.
race?
No, she dropped out too.
But she unsuspended her race.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was back crazy. In as a super...
Whatever.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. She went back in because she got way more than Dean Phillips. And so she unsuspend anyway.
Anyway,
politics in America.
I hate Adam Schiff for that. I do. I think it's disgusting behavior. And anytime a politician does that, it's just dirty politics. And I really hate dirty politics.
I would point out A, he Adam ran Schiff. Ads. Mr. Schiff ran yeah. ads on Fox News. As part of this scheme. And he's gone on record as saying, like, anybody who advertises on Fox News is just feeding the conservative propaganda machine and should be ashamed of themselves. But also...
He should be. He should
also, be. Well, and, you know, I mean, to be fair, when after he started doing this, Katie Porter was like, maybe I can do it myself in response, and failed. But, you know, like she tried to play catch up once she realized that was the only way to... have
I think
a shot.
Claire McCaskill did that in one of her races.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, something yeah, the, she did. The yeah. legitimate rape guy. But,
oh boy.
But the thing I just want to point out is, arguably, Mr. Schiff did not need to bother, or because he got more than the votes, the combined votes for Barbara Lee and for Katie Porter. So if he'd done that, he might have had to face one of them in the general, but he already smoked both of them. Like, their combined vote totals wouldn't have beaten
but
him.
They would have spent money that he that, doesn't have to spend
yeah
money. Last we do have to break, but last yeah. thing, I'm gonna take the last word. If he did that, if they but he they still got in it, the point isn't that they might have won. The point is moving him on policy.
Yeah.
If Barbara Lee, if he was up against Barbara Lee, she would be talking about all of this progressive leftist stuff, and yeah. he would have to respond to that.
That's true.
And they would have to actually, like, the debate they're going to have is going to be a joke. This guy can't do anything. Like I watched their debate with all the candidates. It was a joke. So, yeah. But that's the thing. Like, we need people to push the presumptive winner to the left, so we can.
I mean, for, so absolutely.
That's
fair
why
point.
I would like that. That's why it upsets me so much. He would have won, honestly. He would have won because he has the money and the ground game and everything. Katie Porter,
want the
Barbara
challenge
Lee.
On ideas.
He didn't want to challenge. Yeah, exactly. He just wants to coast, and I hate it when politicians coast. Anyway.
We're going to play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs while we take a short break here at Civil Politics on Valley Free Radio. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. I'm DJ Panic, host of OK Asia. I bring you a wide selection of Asian artists, combining genres like rock, pop, hip-hop, and R&B every Saturday at 12 a.m., with a repeat show on Mondays at 1 a.m. on Valley Free Radio.
Despite all warnings and common sense, the board of WXOJ has approved a new radio show, Care Talk with Quick and Quack.
Care Talk with Quick and Quack is Drs. Evan Benjamin and Bill Cutler talking about health and healthcare. We're really excited about our show. We'll be talking together with guests and with you about health and healthcare and how we can make a better health system.
And if we somehow don't succeed at making a better healthcare system, maybe we can come up with ways to make the current system work better for all of us.
A Baha'i Perspective, hosted by Warren Odess Gillette, is a weekly radio broadcast of biographical interviews of people who have either chosen the Baha'i faith as a way of life or who have a relationship with the Baha'i faith. You can listen to the broadcast on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WXOJLP 103.3 FM. That's Valley Free Radio.
I found a Baha'i today.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it?
Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue,
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta. Ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
With Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow. I'm still doing the show with John Roberts and Sue Timberlake, and we're talking about the State of the Union. Go! I guess it's me.
You want to talk about the State of the Union, and I'll talk about the Republicans' response. How about that?
Sounds good. So I got to say, I'm very upset about he spent 5 minutes talking about what's going on in Gaza. And
at the end, right?
Yeah, 55 minutes into his speech, which lasted, I think, 70 minutes. He didn't speak to the people of Gaza. Like, he talked about them and talked at them.
Those people over there?
Yeah, exactly. But he clearly has real empathy for the Israelis who were brutally murdered on October 7th and the people who were kidnapped by Hamas in the immediate aftermath. And he should. They're human lives. They matter. You know, and having people burst into your home and kill you in your bed, that is horrible. Hamas did that evil thing. I, you know, put people on trial for that. Absolutely. But Mr. Biden has clear empathy for that. And he's very concerned about the return and release of those hostages, as he should be. I want all those people who are still alive to come home. But he just doesn't have anything like the same kind of solicitude for the people, the Palestinian people in Gaza who are being killed, who are being denied food and water and other and medicine and other vital supplies.
Protest vote in Michigan.
Right. And here in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And he did talk a bit about how Israel, you can't use humanitarian aid as a bargaining chip. But, you know, he could have taken a much more firm position. And I was just struck by, I don't know if you watched The Daily Show on Monday.
I think I did. Yeah, with
John
Stewart. John
Stewart, yeah.
Yeah, he does Mondays, that's right. Yes.
And you know, he's back. And Mr. Stewart had a really, you know, at the end, he's like, look, how about this? You know, U.S., various Arab states come in and create a buffer zone. Just here it is. We will guarantee the security of both sides. You know, what U.N. peacekeepers used to do, just let's do that.
You have to be a little careful of UN peacekeepers.
I'm aware.
Because of all the sexual abuse.
Have been some bad things happening with UN
men
peacekeepers.
Men with guns, sometimes really bad things happen.
Apparently, yes. But just that idea of, like, we will just set up a demilitarized zone and it'll be, you know, outside stakeholders will maintain the peace and maintain security for everybody. And I mean,
nobody wants to do it. None of the Egypt, nobody.
Right.
Jordan,
I
we don't want to do it. The UN doesn't want to do it.
I understand. But like,
we should do it in Haiti if we're going to do it.
That's a whole huge can of worms.
Let's not
get into that. No. That's a good question. I'm just like, we don't have time. But I was actually just looking at, I can't remember who it was, somebody's Instagram, but just they were posting about like, and they were posting photos of people like relaxing and partying and, you know, living the good life in Israel. And they were inveighing at how, you know, people in, you know, just a few miles away in Gaza are starving to death or whatever. And I'm like, yes, that's bad. But like, I don't want the people in Israel who are, you know, living their best life to stop living their best life. I don't want that to stop. I want it to be spread and shared with everybody. I want all of those Palestinian people to be also able to go out to nice restaurants and have tapas or whatever and go to a nightclub and dance all night to club music, getting, you know, in silly clothing. Why not?
Gibby and Baba Ganoush or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Whatever. Like, that's what I want. I want everybody to be happy and healthy and living a joyful, prosperous life. I don't think I'm crazy for saying that. And I realize, like, it can be tough for people to work that out. But, like, that is the goal. So, like, I don't see the people of Israel living well and saying that has to stop. I'm saying we have to stop setting it up so that other people are dying so that they live well. That's what we need to stop, you know, which I guess means I'm some kind of stupid lefty or whatever.
If the Israelis don't feel secure, they won't stay.
Right.
Anyway, because nobody wants their family to be living near a war zone.
Of course not.
So, yeah, it's in everybody's best interest to come up with some sort of a solution. But
I don't know. It just seems to me like there's got to be ways.
Us building a pier, I think, is brilliant.
I think that is a good step. I also, maybe as a follow-up to that, the president will heed the I've actually written a few letters to the White House about this and I haven't had any response. But in all of them, I've been suggesting that one thing we can do to help with all these people who are being injured is to send a hospital ship.
Oh, Project
A U.S. Navy hospital ship.
Yes.
You know, Hope. Like, they're good at treating people with injuries and, you know, combat the terrible effects of combat on the human body.
So who gets to be first in line? The Israelis that were hurt? The soldiers that are hurt? Or the
Israeli soldiers are already pulling their own people out and treating them there. Like that.
Oh, they have functioning hospitals. Okay.
Not only do they have functioning hospitals, also they have, like, you know, they have formulas, you know, they've set up personnel and to evacuate people.
They have a functioning infrastructure.
Right. The Palestinians, civilians who are being injured in Gaza are the ones who need to, who are basically being left to languish and die. So that's the problem I have there. But
did you see how infrequently Mike Johnson stood up during the
Yes, I did.
I was surprised, only for Lewis. And I think a civil rights thing. And
yeah,
and
the voting. Well,
that was it.
Nice moment. Okay, I really am upset about the genocide in Gaza. But kudos to President Biden. I did like how he made a point of the activists who marched across the Pettus Bridge and it helped get the Voting Rights Act of 1966 passed, saying thank you.
And to the woman that's granddaughter of the woman who had done a lot of that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely. Thank you. Hey, thank you, activists of the past, for getting the Voting Rights Act passed. That was an actual good thing that made the world better. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But he wanted people to be really civil, and they were not too bad compared to some other years. Although the whole thing about the button.
Yeah.
Wait, are you kidding?
They weren't too bad.
There were a lot of people yelling.
I got to say, the thing that President Biden was ready for that, and
I think he provoked a little bit because I think he wanted that a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Oh, yeah. He was ready to
show his cred.
He did crowd work, and he was ready for it, and he's good at it. And I think one of the reasons the Republicans in that respect fell into his trap, because he wanted to show that he wasn't some doddering old man, that he was actually capable of handling that. He was fairly quick on his feet, certainly did a better job handling an angry crowd than I would have.
And he did a good job with MTJ.
Yeah.
I mean, MTG.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So that's
they were
good.
All wearing those buttons. And the women, the Democratic women.
All wore white, or most white. Of them wore white.
Yeah. And they had done that once before.
So. Yeah, as a reference to the suffragettes. I noticed Speaker Johnson wasn't standing up very much. I was particularly noticed at one point the president was quite rightly saying, you know, our infrastructure spending needs to continue and be expanded, among other things. There's still too many places in the country with lead pipe, you know, lead in the drinking water, and we don't want any of our children to get brain damage because they're drinking the water. And, you know, and Kamala Harris and the Democrats all stood up and they clapped, and Mike Johnson just sat there, you know, stone faced. And I just thought, you know,
that's it's kind of across the.
It's like,
yeah,
like, why aren't you clapping, you know, child health care? Why aren't you saying clapping for children not getting brain damage? Like, what? So that was
They sat out a lot of stuff that I was surprised at.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of that. And he offered like some good ideas, like, you know, increasing pay, you know, taxes on super rich people.
25%.
Yeah. 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 Tax credits to help people save up to buy homes and pay down debts, pay rises for public school teachers across the country, raising the minimum wage, cutting the fees credit card companies can hit us with, all of that. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, some of these are, you know, and more Snickers bar in a bag of Snickers. Sure. I mean, you know, some of that's picayune, but
$32 if you're late on your credit card 3 days.
Yeah.
It's going to go down to $8. If,
right.
But they're suing, you know, the citizens, that not citizens.
The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau?
Yeah. They set the regs and they're being sued over it. But
well, whatever. Like,
it should be the cost, whatever it is.
Congress can pass a law and then they don't have any choice, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing. Anyway, so all of that. And of course, talking about like reproductive choice, you know, give me a Democratic Congress and we'll put Roe v. you know, the Roe v. Wade standard back into the.
Yeah. What was that?
What do you mean?
He had one. They could have done it. Why not? Why not before?
Because they didn't think it was going to be overturned.
Yeah. I just.
Yeah.
Like a lot of presidents say, like, give me this Congress and we'll do this. And then we do. And then they don't.
Yeah.
It's upsetting.
One of the reasons why I was like, well, okay, put the Democrats in charge 4 years ago was like, among other things, we need to rebalance the Supreme Court because it has been monkey wrenched by Mitch McConnell and the Republican apparatus.
He endorsed Trump.
I know he did. Yeah. And just
I was surprised. You know,
and President Biden did nothing about expanding the court. And we've talked about this before, you know, go to 13 justices. So there's one for each circuit. But Anyway, we've got a few minutes left. And I know you wanted to talk about the Republican response.
Yes, I really did.
Alabama senator, right?
Alabama Senate, junior senator Katie Britt.
Right.
Her speech was terrible.
Yeah.
Just from a performance.
Well delivered.
No.
What little I saw of it, I was just like, I am going to fall asleep.
I'm going to play a bit of it.
Please do.
It woke me up. I had fallen asleep. And I don't know why. Yeah, she said something about horrible rapes, and I was like, what?
Okay. This is just a random part of the speech at like 7 minutes, 30 seconds. I just want you to listen to how she's delivering.
Go for it.
To how to plan for tomorrow. The American people are scraping by while President Biden proudly proclaims that Bidenomics is working. Goodness, y'all, bless his heart, we know better.
My God.
What is she doing?
Well, I don't
she's
know.
She's from Alabama, but that wasn't Southern
dialect. All through her, I watched the entire speech. I watched both speeches, but all through the entire speech, I was thinking,
she
this is
sounds
a.
Sounds like she's about to cry.
No, she sounds
it's
like.
Very dramatic.
She sounds like someone in high school trying out for the next production of West Side Story.
Yeah, that's
it's terrible. She is over dramatic, over the top. There was no scenery left unchewed.
Did you? Sid was saying like Macbeth, right?
Oh yeah, whatever. Like terror. It's just I don't know why they put her in front of the camera. It like
a woman in a kitchen. It makes perfect sense.
Oh yeah, a woman in a kitchen. So it was.
That's supposed to be in the house.
Bobby Jindal was busy.
I was talking to Sid about
that
too.
Was it Rubio that drank the water?
And Marco Rubio also. I mean, he's
they
busy.
Shouldn't do that anymore. You know, there's no reason to do Republic, and it shouldn't be aired. There's no like.
I agree.
So I really wanted to get to a few points that it would be interesting just to see like what I agreed with. what yep. she talked
oh,
about.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. Let me get my notes out.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean my pad out so I can write it down.
So parts of her speech, hardworking families are struggling to make ends meet today. And with soaring mortgage rates and sky high childcare costs, they're also struggling to plan for tomorrow. That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And
maybe like, we should have like a federal healthcare childcare thing.
Or like a childcare credit or a child credit, you know, like so kids won't get hungry. Wild. Wild stuff. Next thing, but let's be honest. It's been a minute since Joe Biden pumped gas, ran carpool, or pushed a grocery cart. Meanwhile, the rest of us see every day that our dollar doesn't go as far. Also true.
Mm.
Really true.
Yeah.
It's really, food is way up.
And like Biden said, like stagflation or something like
shrinkflation.
That. Shrinkflation, yeah. That's
yeah, we haven't hit stagflation yet, thank God, but yeah. We may.
That was awful.
And what does President Biden do? He bans TikTok for government employees but creates an account for his own campaign. You can't make this stuff up. His account is dumb. Nobody wants it. Well, it's bad.
I think she's saying hypocritically, right?
But also it's like, no, we don't want government employees wasting their time on this. But at the same time, yes, we do want to be able to reach voters who might actually pay attention to us. The whole thing about TikTok can be, you talk about how overblown it is and how it's rooted in sort of this anti-Chinese racism, but you know.
Well, I like the name of her children.
Oh,
Bennett and Ridgeway. Now, Ridgeway is a Honda truck.
Ridgeway?
Yeah. And I don't know what Bennett is, but I think Bennett is the girl. I thought that was very interesting that she picked sort of.
When I think Ridgeway, I think of the guy who did Mexican Radio, that song way back in the day. Stan
maybe.
Ridgeway, yeah.
Yeah. But interesting. And she called the president, what, diminished and dithering.
Right. Which is not at all what we saw in the State of the Union. I mean, you know, given that. He's probably did a better job handling that crowd than I would have.
Okay, yeah. Biden HQ, which is his official account, yeah. Which
is this TikTok we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, which is his profile picture is Dark sure. Brandon. Like I don't know who's in charge of his social media team. They have 224,100 followers.
That's all.
That's all. Nobody wants it.
Why would you follow? Never mind.
You. Clearly, nobody want half those
people
are
follow
rage following
things that are sort of instant gratification, intense videos.
No, just information. Sometimes there's news
people,
accounts.
People turn to social media for all kinds of things. One of the things I really value about Twitter, and it used to be much, much better for this, was just learning from people who knew about stuff. You know.
Half of my accounts are like that.
Yeah.
Especially like racial
jokes.
Is
TikTok got a lot of, because I thought it was mostly videos, but you're saying that it's really
well, no,
educational.
They're all videos. It's all videos.
There's a really great historian, she does tours or whatever, named Jessica Draper, who yep. like talks about London. And she'll go around and just do like bits about London history, and she does these videos on TikTok.
We can do a...
She's wonderful.
An extra segment on TikTok just explaining... what's going on. Yeah. But
should it be banned?
We are the party of hardworking parents and families. We want you to you and your children to the opportunities to thrive, and we want families to grow. It's why we strongly support continued nationwide access to in vitro fertilization. Yeah, it's like yeah. In vitro fertilization.
But good. Mike Johnson did not stand up when Biden talked about IVF.
No, because they're just because a lot of the things that Republicans say are almost there. You're almost there, but then you like overswing and it's like, no, you're right there.
Well, and you want to know why? One of the reasons why they chose this woman is because she's a senator from Alabama. Yep.
Exactly.
Now, young. She's really young.
The last thing I wanted to do, and it's a bit long,
go for
but
it.
I think it's important if that's okay.
I don't object. Go ahead.
Cool.
4 minutes of yours.
This is the end of her speech.
Okay.
I'm going to read it. I know you're frustrated. I know you're probably disgusted by what you see going on in Washington. And I'll be really honest with you. You're not wrong for feeling that way. Look, I get it. The task in front of us isn't an easy one, but I can promise you one thing. It is worth it. So I'm asking you, for the sake of your kids and your grandkids, get into the arena. Every generation has been called to do hard things. American greatness rests in the fact that we always answer that call. It's who we are. Never forget, we're steeped in the blood of patriots who overthrew the most powerful empire in the world. We walk in the steps of pioneers who tamed the wild. We now carry forward the same flame of freedom as the liberators of an oppressed Europe. We draw courage from those who bent the moral arc of the universe. And when we gaze upon the heavens, never forget that our DNA contains the same ingenuity that put a man on the moon. America has been tested before, and every single time we've emerged unbowed and unbroken. That's not true. So that part of the speech.
That's a good message.
It is. Yeah. It's. Yeah. It is very American exceptionalism.
Optimistic.
It's overly optimistic, but that's the kind of thing that it should be adjusted a little bit. But that's the sort of soaring rhetoric that really gets people, especially centrists, interested.
Mm.
There is work to be done there, but the thing is that
it's not a bad message. I don't think
it's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. And it's something, it's like, especially the beginning when,
I kind of started humming the hymn of the Republic while you were reading it to myself. Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you're frustrated. Mm-hmm. I know you're disgusted with what is going on in Washington. I'm
was
asking
it Richmond,
you,
Richmond, north of Richmond.
I'm asking you, for the sake of your kids and your grandkids, get into the arena.
Yeah, that's, run for office. Yeah, do it.
And run, all like leftists that
that's
really want to
of
make
Teddy Roosevelt used to say.
Yeah, like if you want things to change, then you need to get invested. So I thought that was, thought that was interesting.
That's really nice. I'm glad you did that, Jonna.
So anyway, yeah.
In fact, I feel embarrassed that I didn't do more of that.
Yeah. Well, shame on you. Yeah.
But we do that on this show. We switch hats every once in a while. So.
Yes.
Or look at it critically. So excellent. Excellent, excellent.
But I will never praise Ayn Rand. So anyway, we got to wrap it up here because I can hear the music. So that's going to do it, I guess, for Civil Politics Tonight here on Valley Free Radio. Coming up next, we got Subculture. Blah, 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 at 8 o'clock, followed by Table of Contents at 10 and OK Asia at midnight. It's a podcast of this you can get starting this weekend, and we'll have a repeat broadcast Monday afternoon at 4. But that's going to do it for now. Yeah, thanks for listening to Civil Politics here on WXOJLP 103.3 FM, Valley Free Radio out of Northampton, and hope you'll join us again next week. Good night. Civil Politics is a member of the Planetside Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.